What a pleasure to be back in Vallejo. Thank you for the invitation. When I come here, I feel like I've come back home. In fact, you have honored us by naming a street in my honor. I live in the state of Tennessee, and I had to get on Tennessee Street to get here, right? So I feel like I've come back home when I come to this church, and thank you for the opportunity. We had a marvelous day yesterday, the men's retreat, thanks to the elders and the ministers for putting that together. Had a good day, and you're with us this morning for that. We are thankful. I'm excited about this week. Am I on? Are you able to understand? Am I speaking loudly enough? Okay. Move it up just a little bit. Okay, we are on. I love the theme for this revival, what the Bible says about dot, dot, dot. One of my favorite all-time poems, he stands behind the sacred desk, a book held in his hand. And as he speaks, his brethren know he is a Bible man. He loves the grand old book divine. He loves to preach the plan. He loves the lost. Its message saves. He is a Bible man. Upon the scriptures, right in truth, the invitation stand to make the message clear and plain. He is a Bible man. Let skeptics doubt and heathen rage and build their hopes on sand. He loves and he lives and he preaches God's word. He is a Bible man. When worlds shall end and stars shall fall and before the throne we stand, how sweet to hear the King's command. Come home, you Bible man. Well, I want to be a Bible man. What about you? See, I want to speak where the Bible speaks. I want to be silent where the Bible is silent. If the Bible says it, I want to do it. If the Bible doesn't say it, I want to leave it alone. I want to thus set the Lord for everything that I do. So I love the theme that the elders have suggested, what the Bible says about, and this morning we're going to be talking about what the Bible says about worship. What does the Bible say about worship? I'm glad you're here. If I were to ask you, why are you here? Why did you come? What would you say? In fact, let me just do it. I don't think I would embarrass anybody. Why are you here this morning? Yes, ma'am? We're here to worship. Well, that's one of the reasons that we are here. In fact, we're here to worship God, but do you realize you can worship at home? We can sing at home. We can pray at home. We can worship at home. I hope that you do. I hope that you don't come to the church building and only come to the church building to worship. See, I think there are a number of reasons we get together on Sunday. Yes, ma'am.
I come to obey what he's commanded us to do, gather together.
Gather together. Okay, let me give you, since you mentioned that, let me give you four or five reasons why we do come together at the church building on Sunday. First of all, yes, Jack? Because the church is here, okay. See, there are a lot of reasons we come. Let me give you at least four, maybe five reasons why we come to church. Number one, we come because it's expected. As our sister said, the Lord expects His people to be here. What's that famous verse that we often use about coming together as God's people? What's the verse, audience? Hebrews 10:25. What does it say? Not forsaking the assembling. Yeah, not forsaking the assembly. See, God expects His people together. It's kind of like a family reunion. When you have a family reunion, you expect the family to be there, and God expects His family to get together. So He says, don't forsake the assembling. So number one, it's expected. Number two, we come together to exhort one another. The very same verse, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. First of all, he tells us what not to do. Don't forsake the gathering of the people. But then he tells us what to do. What should we do when we come together? Hebrews 10:25 says, but exhorting one another. So first of all, he says, let me tell you what you ought not to do. Don't forsake the assembling. God expects His people to get together. And then he says, let me tell you what you ought to do. You ought to exhort one another. What does that mean? Yeah, encourage, stimulate, motivate, stir up. Man, living out there in the world is hard to be a Christian. And God's people need God's people. And when we get together, we ought to encourage one another and motivate each other and stir one another up. And we ought to fire each other up and just love on one another. The writer said, not forsaking the assembling, but exhorting one another. How could we exhort one another? What could we say to encourage one another? What about I love you? Have you said that to anybody today? I love you. I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. See, we're here for one another. So first of all, we assemble because it is expected. Number two, we assemble to exhort. Let me give you another reason we come together on Sunday. Number three, to examine. We come together to examine. What do we examine? Well, we examine the Word of God, right? We study the Word of God. Like the Bereans, Acts 17, verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all openness, with all readiness of heart, and they searched the Scriptures how often, class? Every day. Yeah, they searched the Scriptures every day. So we come together to examine God's Word, to study God's Word. We also come to examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, Paul said, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. And especially we examine ourselves when we partake of communion. We look inward to make sure that our hearts are in the right place. So we do come to examine. Let me give you another reason that we come together on Sunday. We come together because it's expected. We come together to exhort. We come together to examine. But we also come together to be an example. Do you realize you're preaching a great sermon by just being here today? You're getting up, coming to Bible class. You're saying to the world, you know, Bible is important to me. Bible study is important to me. God is important to me. Jesus is important to me. You are preaching a marvelous lesson by just being here this morning. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. So you're preaching a great sermon. Your example is, hey, I love God. My church is important to me. My God is important to me. Heaven is important to me. So you're here to be a good example. But you're also here, as was mentioned a few minutes ago, to exalt God. You're here to worship God. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this Bible class. So, do you have a Bible? What does the Bible say about worship? Let's see what the Bible says about worship, exalting God. I want you to open your Bibles to John chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, there's the book. The fourth book of God's New Testament, chapter 4. Jesus meets a woman. We call her the Samaritan woman. We don't know her name, but obviously she's a seeker. She's seeking something that is spiritual. And we'll start in verse 19. The woman said to Jesus, sir, I know, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Well, Jesus responded, verse 21, John 4, woman, believe me, trust me, the hour is coming when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But, verse 23, the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father, He's looking, He's seeking for those to worship Him. And then He says in verse 24, the verse that most of us know, God is spirit, and they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. There's a word that Jesus uses, class, in this chapter that I want you to notice with me. The word that I'm talking about is this one. It's found about eight different times in John chapter 4. It's found back in verse 20. It's found in verse 21, verse 22, verse 23, and verse 24. God is spirit, and they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. Question, what is worship? You say, Keith, I'm here to worship. I'm here to worship God. I'm glad you're here to worship God, but what is worship? Gabriel says it's love. You know, a lot of people love, but they don't worship. I might love ice cream. I might love football. I might love traveling, going on vacation. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm worshiping. So what is worship? Let me ask you like this. Do you think everything that we do is worship? When I'm playing cards, am I worshiping? When I'm out eating at Chick-fil-A, am I worshiping? Is everything that we do worship? I don't think so. In fact, let me show you the very first time that the word worship appears in the Bible. Hold your place in John chapter 4 and flip back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. I think this is the first time that the word worship appears in the Bible. You remember the story, Abraham and Isaac? God told Abraham to offer his son, his only son Isaac. And Abraham goes out and he saddles his donkeys. He gathers some wood. And notice what he says according to verse 5. They set out in a journey, Abraham and Isaac and some servants. And notice what Abraham said. Somebody read verse 5 of Genesis 22. He says to the servants, you stay here with the donkeys. Uh-oh, notice the word. Here's the word. I and the boy, will go over there and worship. And what else, Mike? And come again to you. We're going to go over there and worship, and we're going to come back to you. It seems like that Abraham believed that even if he killed his son, God was able to raise him from the dead. In fact, that's what the book of Hebrews chapter 11 says. But Abraham says, I'm going to go over there and worship. Now, he had been doing a number of things. He had been gathering the sticks. He had been making sure that the donkeys were ready. They had been traveling. So they had been doing a number of things. But Abraham says, I'm going to go over there. We're going to go over there and worship, and then we're going to come back to you. So it seems to me that worship is a specific act. In fact, I would say that worship is an act that praises and adores God. It's a way that we exalt God. It's a way that we lift God, that we praise Him. It's a specific act that praises God. So when we talk about worship, you know, everything that we do should be done to the glory of God. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. And I think there's a difference, though, in doing something to the glory of God and in worshiping God. Worship is a specific act that brings glory and honor to our Heavenly Father. Now, how should we worship? Yes, ma'am. That's what Jesus said. That's what the Bible says, right? Again, the theme for this week. What does the Bible say? The class, what does the Bible say about worship? Well, what does the Bible say about worship? Jesus said, God is spirit, and they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? Let's start with the truth. What is truth? Say it again. God is truth. Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verse 6. So God is truth. Jesus is truth. Yes, sir? Stan, I'm sorry. Yeah, Evan, I'm sorry. Okay, you're in John chapter 4. That's our text. Look over to John 8. Let's start in John 8. And somebody read verse 32. We're talking about worship, what the Bible says about worship. And Jesus said we need to worship in truth. What does that mean? Well, John 8, 32. Somebody read verse 32 for me. John 8, 32. Yes, sir? Okay, whatever we're talking about, it will set us free. That's what we want. That's our liberty. It's the truth of God. Well, what is truth? Since you're in the Gospel of John, flip over to John 17. John 17. It's the prayer of Jesus. And notice what he prays in John 17 and verse 17. Somebody please. John 17 and verse 17. Sanctify, set them apart. By your truth, your word is truth. What's truth? His word is truth. His word is our standard. So when Jesus said, God is spirit and they that worship must worship in truth, what is he saying, do you think? We've got to worship according to the Bible, right? We've got to worship according to Scripture because God's word is truth. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. How long is this belt? Be nice, okay? Be nice. In inches, how long do you think it is? 42 inches. George, what about this belt? 42 inches, he says. You agree? How long is it? 36. I like you. I like you a lot. Okay, we got 40, we got 42, and we got 36. I like George, though. I really like George. Okay, there's disagreement, right? There's disagreement in this Bible class. How would we find out how long this belt is? You would have to measure it, right? When there's disagreement about how long something is, you would get a standard to go by, right? And you would get a rule, or you would get a measuring stick. You would get a tape measure to measure it, right? Well, what's true with disagreement about the length of belts is also true with disagreement in religion. When there's disagreement in religion, we need a standard to go by. What do you think the standard is? No doubt about that. Jesus said, set them apart. He prayed, set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. So if we're going to worship in truth, that means we worship according to the word of God. There's a lot of disagreement concerning worship. I mean, you could be at another group this morning and you would find a totally different worship than you're going to find here. So there's a lot of disagreement about worship. To find the truth, we need a standard to go by. And of course, the standard that we go by is the Word of God. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about when I say we need to worship in truth. Have you ever wondered why in churches of Christ we sing without pianos? Maybe you're here for the very first time. You look around, where's the piano? Where's the harp? Where's the guitar? Why do we sing, do you think, without pianos and guitars and harps? Say it again. Sing and make merry in your heart. Where do you find that, Mike? Do you remember?
Nope.
Nothing like being honest, right? Yes, sir? Or yes, ma'am? Who was back here? It's not authorized. Somebody says, well, wait a minute. I read about harps and stringed instruments in the book of Psalms. Say it again. You guys don't believe in the Old Testament?
We do.
But
where's your Levite priest? Where's your incense?
So what are you saying? What are you saying there?
Well, you can't just dump Rick. One and bring the others and cherry pick out of the Old Testament.
There are a lot of things in the Old Testament that we don't do today. In fact, in the book of Psalms, you do read about praising God with the stringed instruments and the harps and so on. But do you realize in the book of Psalms, do you realize that you read about worshiping God with offerings of animals? Psalm 66. We believe in the Old Testament, but the Old Testament is not authority for New Testament worship. When you come to the New Testament, what do you find? Well, Matthew 26 and verse 30, and when they had sung a hymn. Ephesians 5:19, Mike, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16 says the very same thing. James 5:13, James asked this question, is any among you afflicted? Are you afflicted? You need to pray. Are you happy? You need to sing psalms. I'll be honest with you, folks. I like the sound of guitars. Gabe, you're a guitar player, right? Man, I like your guitar. I've never heard you play, but you're going to play for me this week, right? You told me you would. I'm excited about hearing Gabe play that guitar. And I like the sound of guitar. And if it were left up to me, you know what we'd do? Man, we'd fire up this place. We'd bring in a piano. We'd bring in a harp. We'd bring in some guitars. See, I like the sound of music. I mean, if it were left up to me, that's what we would do. But see, worship is not left up to me. It's not about what I like. It's not about what I want. It's about what God wants. God is spirit, and they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. We've got to worship according to His Word. And when we turn to the Word of the New Testament, what do we find? We find sing. I want you to sing. I want you to sing. I know it can't be wrong just to sing praises to God and to one another. So we sing for ourselves to express joy. We sing to one another to encourage one another. But we also sing for God. Acts 16 and verse 25, Paul and Silas at midnight, what did they do? They prayed and they sang. So to worship God in truth means that we do what we do according to the Bible. Have you ever wondered why in churches of Christ we have communion on Sunday? Why not on Wednesday night? Y'all ever do that on Wednesday night in California? You know, we Tennessee folks believe that there are some strange things going on in California. Right? You ever get together on Wednesday night and have communion? Why do you have communion on Sunday? Say it again. They gathered upon the first day of the week. What's the verse in that? You remember? Acts 20 and verse 7. Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together for what reason? To break bread. They came together to exalt God. I've given you five reasons why to come together. What are they? It's expected to exhort one another, to examine. We also come together to be a good example, and we come together to exalt God. They came together upon the first day of the week to break bread, to bring praise and glory to Jesus Christ who died upon the cross, Acts 20 and verse 7. So we do it upon Sunday because they did it upon the first day of the week. Have you ever wondered why we have grape juice for communion instead of water? Do you realize that there are religious people, good, sincere, honest, religious people who have water for Wonder Bread? Well, I don't know about the Wonder Bread, but they have water for communion. Why not water? It'd be a lot cheaper. Think about it, folks. Think about all the money you could save. Instead of buying grape juice, you could just turn on the faucet and have water. Why don't we have water for communion? It goes back to, hey, God is right. He's always right. I might like one thing. You might like another thing. It's not about pleasing us. It's about pleasing God. Scripture talks about the fruit of the vine. It talks about the unleavened bread. Does that make sense to you? We do what we do according to God's word because God's word is truth. Questions, comments on that from anybody? Rick? You know, Coca-Cola would be fine with me. Coke. Birthday cake. Yeah. I mean, you know, why don't we do something other than fruit of the vine and unleavened bread? Why not steak and eggs or something like that?
You'd want to at least have that, and then you would want to add to it. Like, where you're adding the piano to the singing, you want to add some bacon on top.
A little bacon on top? See, wait. It doesn't say, yeah. Nowhere does the Bible say don't use water for communion. It doesn't say that. Nowhere does the Bible say don't preach from the Apocrypha. Paul just tells us what he says. Preach the word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. You can't find a bunch of don't do this and don't. God just tells us what to do. And when God tells us what to do, that automatically excludes anything else. Yes, ma'am. We've got to go back to the standard. When there's disagreement, go back to the standard. How do we find out how long something is? How do you find out how much I would weigh? None of your business, okay? I'd have to step on the scales, right? You'd have to get a measure to go by. Well, our measure in religion is the Word of God. God is spirit, and they that worship must worship in truth. Now, he also says something else. He says, we've got to worship in spirit. What does that mean? We've got to worship in spirit. Truth and in spirit. Say it again. From the heart? Well, the word spirit is used in different ways in Scripture. Sometimes the word spirit is used in reference to the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive what? You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the word Spirit is used in the Bible in reference to the Holy One who lives in us, the Holy Spirit. We'll talk more about that in the sermon this morning. But there are times that the Bible uses the word Spirit in reference to the, you said what, brother? Heart. God is Spirit, and they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. What is he saying? Well, let me show you, I think, what he's saying. Hold your place in John chapter 4. Look back to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Psalm 51, and notice what the psalmist says in verse 10. Psalm 51 in verse 10. He prays this prayer, creating me a clean, what does your Bible say, a clean what? Okay, we all want a clean heart, right? Jesus said, Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who are clean in heart. We all want a clean heart, so we can pray, creating me a clean heart, O God. And notice this next part, renew a right, what does your Bible say? Spirit within me. It's what some scholars call synonymous parallelism. What does that mean? It simply means that the first line of the verse says exactly the same thing as the second line of the verse. The second line says the very same thing as the first line. When the psalmist prayed, creating me a clean heart, what is he saying? He is saying, hey, give me a good, renewed spirit. Look down to verse 17. We find the very same thing in verse 17, Psalm 51. The sacrifices of God are a broken, what does your Bible say? Here's the word, broken spirit. In other words, what does God want? He wants a broken spirit. What are you talking about? Well, read on, because he explains himself. He says it again, a broken and a contrite heart. You see that in your Bible? One line says one thing, then the next line says another thing. We're talking about the same thing. So spirit and heart are sometimes used interchangeably in God's Word. So when Jesus said God is spirit and they that worship must worship in spirit, what is he saying? Yeah, we've got to worship from the heart. Don't just go through the motions in church. Rick? Well, God is spirit. He's not... We can't see him. He's not flesh, blood, and bones. Jesus became human and he lived among us. Emmanuel, God with us. But God is not like flesh and blood and bones. He is spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son are different than we are in that sense. But he does want us to worship in spirit. I don't think he's talking about, he's not repeating, I don't think he's saying you've got to worship in truth again. He's already talked about the truth later on, but I think it's a reference to your heart, your inner person.
And that's the way you connect with spiritual.
Well, we worship in spirit. That means we don't just come and go through the motions. We don't just do the outward. We don't just sing songs and close our eyes when we pray and listen to somebody else pray. No, we pray what the brother prays. And if the brother is praying my heart, then I say amen to my brother. And when I do communion, I don't just come and eat crackers and grape juice, drink grape juice. I do it from my heart goes back to the cross. And in my mind, I see Jesus hanging on that cross, people spitting in his face, people mocking him as he died there in agony. And in my spirit, in my heart, I remind myself, Keith, I'm a sinner. Man, Jesus did that for you. Wow. So when you sing, I want to be a worker for the Lord, do you sing in spirit? Do you really want to be a worker for the Lord? Mike?
Well, it also, there's a parallel thing in the legal world called the spirit of the law. In other words, it's not the visual representation of what you really feel and do inside.
What it's all about.
Right.
Yeah, good point. Good illustration. So, what does the Bible say about what Jesus said about worship? That God is not human, he's spirit. And if we're going to worship, we don't have an option. We must, M-U-S-T, worship. Yeah, we've got to worship in truth according to his word, according to his standard. But we also worship in spirit or from the heart. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think would improve the worship of this church? What could you do in a very practical sense that would encourage, that would promote the exaltation of God? Give me something that, from a practical standpoint, how could you improve the worship of the Church of Christ in this place? Wow, more participation in singing. I think about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. I don't just come and listen to you sing. I need to sing to you. What does the Bible say? Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ live in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing who? One another. So I teach and admonish you, and you teach and admonish me. I can do that only when I'm participating. I think there are times that we can listen to other people sing, but man, I need to be encouraging you and admonishing you and warning you and instructing you when I participate in the singing. So, 100% participation. What else would improve the worship here? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Psalm 100, right? Make a joy. Come with joy. Again, James said, James 5:13, if you're afflicted, if you're suffering, you ought to pray. If you're happy, you ought to sing. Do it with a smile on your face and a joy in your heart. Come before the Lord with singing, okay? So, everybody does. I mean, everybody participates. Do it with a joyful spirit. Mike, do you have something in? Absolutely. If we're improving from the inside out, just taking my heart, thinking about it, concentrating upon it, focusing upon it, I am improving the worship. And, you know, you won't ever see the change. Just like you don't see me with my mind somewhere else when I'm doing communion. You might not see the change, but if I'm really into it with my heart, my spirit, it would improve the worship here. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Question?
I've heard people talk about, well, I can't sing. I got a bad voice. And I'm like, does that matter?
Have you heard me sing? Is that why you're saying that? Okay.
The widow had a bad purse, right? The widow's mite, she had a bad purse.
She had a bad purse? The widow?
She gave that purse, that coin.
Uh-huh. So your question would be? Well, you know, listening to somebody singing may be a good thing. Acts 16:25 said, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So it's a good thing to listen to other people pray, and it's a good thing to listen to other people sing. But if you were to ask me, am I worshiping by listening to somebody, I don't think I am. I'm not doing a bad thing, but I think worship must be, it must be an act. It is an act, not for what somebody else does, but what I do. Okay? Yes, sir? Yes, sir? Hmm. I visit about 45 different churches every year, churches of Christ. And what you've just said, boy, that would bless most of our churches, a love for God and love for one another. Matthew 22, what's the first and the great commandment? To love God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And what's the second? The second is like the first, to love one another. If you're fussing and fighting as a church, coming together is not a good thing. But loving each other and loving God, that's really would set the tone for worship. Thanks for those comments. Yes, sir. Yeah, love is an action, right? Yeah, love is patient and kind and does not envy, does not boast, is not proud. Yeah. And so, you know, we've got to approach God. I mean, why are we, how many of you got up and came because you just like to get up early and go somewhere? You like to get up early? Old folks like to get up early, right? Yeah, we old folks like to get up early. And the reason we like to get up early is because we can't sleep late. And the reason we can't sleep late is because Solomon said we couldn't. We're going to wake up with the sound of the bird. I'll be honest with you, folks. I like to sleep late. I don't do it often because I'm an old person, but I enjoy sleeping. And I don't think most of us got up and came because we just like to get up early and go somewhere. Why are you here? Well, you are here because it's expected. You're here to encourage and exhort one another. You're here to examine yourself in the Word of God. You're here to be a good example. But you're here to exalt God. Psalm 99 in verse 5. Exalt the Lord your God. Worship at His feet. Questions, comments before we close. They told me to stop about, well, it's time to stop, right? Next bell. We do have a minute, huh? Got 3 minutes. Whoa, have you ever seen a preacher stop 3 minutes early? You just thought the day of miracles was over, right? Questions, comments. I was bringing this thing to a landing. Let's put it in gear again, Tommy. Wow, it's a powerful thought. Powerful thought. Very good. Mike? So we've got to come with a clean heart.
Yeah, well, yeah, like in the Old Testament, when he freed his people, he was freeing them from that bondage to go worship in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're freed from spiritual bondage to worship from the heart.
Very good. Good observation. Good observation. George? If we come in spirit, right?
Yeah, they're all in singing. Whether you're a good singer or a bad singer, it does not matter as long as you sing.
If we really mean what we sing, not just sing words, but really mean what we sing. Yes, ma'am.
God created this instrument.
He did, didn't he?
He wants to hear from it.
Yeah. And of course, when we talk about the heart, we're not talking about the blood pump. We're talking about the thinking, the reasoning part of man. Who we really are. Somebody else had a hand over here. Yes, sir. Stay with the truth. Yeah, it can't be wrong to sing. There's a way that absolutely can't be wrong. And it absolutely can't be wrong to sing and really mean it. And pray and really mean it. And do communion and have your heart in the right place. Well, we had a great day yesterday, men's retreat. Just a marvelous day, just an encouraging day. Enjoyed that day, and I'm excited about this week. What's going to happen this week? Will anybody be saved? Will anybody come and say, pray for me? Well, let me encourage you to be praying about that. in the next few days, okay? Let's pray together. Father, You are awesome and holy and reverend. You're great and good, compassionate and kind. We want to please You. We want to worship like You want us to worship. And we want to do that, Father, not just going through the motions that we do in church, but really mean what we do. Let us do it in spirit and in truth. Bless our day today. We pray that some great things will happen in this church. In Jesus' holy name, amen.